This is Slashdot Review for Tuesday, November 23rd, 2004. My name is Andy McCaskey, and this is a 10-minute summary of highlights from recent contributions to Slashdot. Today's music is from GarageBand.com artist Rebecca Reed. Now let's have a look at tonight's headline. Verizon seeks to nix fee-based municipal wireless grids. Miller MP writes to Slashdot that it looks like Verizon has succeeded in banning municipal Wi-Fi networks in Pennsylvania. Since Verizon's looking to broadband service to fuel its growth, it calls municipal Wi-Fi unfair competition. This bill is followed by similar legislation earlier this year in Utah, Louisiana, and Florida. The bill is yet to be signed by the Pennsylvania governor. As the story says, it does not ban municipal wireless per se, but it would place great restrictions on how it could be funded. Well, at least in the UK, VHS is dead. Ronick writes that the UK's largest retailer of electronics is phasing out VHS VCRs. Sales of DVD players have outstripped VCRs by 40-1 recently. So how long will it be until the mass market says goodbye to the DVD player? A few historical links commemorate the occasion. Sony kills Betamax, why VHS was better, how to preserve VHS recordings. In the future, we'll have digital VHS, but I suspect it will mostly be hard drive-based recorders. Point-and-click Linux. Roblimo Miller is well known in the open source world for advocating cheap, user-friendly Linux computing and demonstrating that it's not only possible, but available right now. He's also a writer and editor at NewsForge and the editor-in-chief of OSTG, of which Slashdot's a part, and therefore one of the bosses of the poster, so you have to take that for what it's worth. But Roblimo's new book, Point and Click Linux, really consists of three things. The book itself, an included copy on CD of the Debian-based Simply Mepis Linux distribution, and a DVD featuring Roblimo's multi-part narrated video guide for getting started with Linux, Mepis, and KDE. Getting started is the key. This book is for the interested beginner, not the power user. The rest of the review is listed on Slashdot. There's a move afoot to privatize radio spectrum in the UK. Judge Corp writes that the UK regulator Ofcom has decided that managing spectrum is a drag and that there are other people around that might do a better job. It's going to open up 73% of the radio spectrum to market forces and make it technologically neutral and tradable. So if one technology gets superseded, another one can get rolled out instead, with subject to broadcast power limits, instead of having Ofcom having to define what spectrum it should use. Radio was first regulated in the UK 100 years ago this year, and a new regime's needed to fit new radio technology. Ofcom is quite proud to be ahead of the U.S. on this one because we have a recent Communications Act and the FCC is hamstrung by old laws, or at least that's what the head of research at Ofcom has said. Dual video cards are coming back. Kez writes that he's sure that many Slashdotters fondly remember the era of 3DFX. SLI'd Voodoo 2s were a force to be reckoned with. Sadly, that era ended a long time ago, though somebody has managed to get Doom 3 to play on a pair of Voodoo 2s. However, NVIDIA's revised SLI with their GeForce 6600 and 6800 cards. SLI works differently this time around, but the basic concept of using two cards to get the rendering work done is the same. Hexis.net has taken a look at how the new SLI works and how to set it up, and also how not to, along with benchmarks using both of the rendering modes available in the new SLI. Reader Oh Boy writes in that VIA, on its latest press tour, stopped by and visited in the UK, and trusted reviews have new information on VIA's latest chipsets for the AMD Athlon 64, the K8T890, and the K8T890 Pro, which supports dual GFX. But what has emerged is that dual FX, after all, doesn't support SLI, at least not for the time being, since it seems like NVIDIA somehow has managed to lock out other manufacturers' chipsets from working properly with SLI. VIA did well, on the other hand, to have two ATI cards up and running, although not in the SLI mode. In the world of games, World of Warcraft is launched. The last major massive multiplayer online game launch of the year hits retail stores today. World of Warcraft finally goes live after years of debate, development, and a more than six-month beta test. The usual suspects have details on the game, with GameSpot already having details on the upcoming content, and GameSpy laying out personal experiences from the test and interviews with the developers. If you'd like to comment on a Slashdot item or suggest a Creative Commons artist or band to feature for listeners, just make a phone call to 732-357-3682. or a network-based SIP phone call to 747-667-3306. Or the old-fashioned way, leave a written comment at slashdotreview.com. Job Diogenes Roberto Borges writes that the Smart Packet Manager is an intelligent tool that works in the dependency hell of software upgrading installation on Linux. This unifying Linux package manager works on all major distributions, APT, APT-RPM, YUM, ERPMI, and so forth, and it supports multiple sources and technologies concurrently. You can install from multiple sources, from Debian's, RPM's, and TGZ's at the same time. Smart Package Manager is being developed by Connectiva and is the tool that makes the magic of cross-platform package management behind the recently announced four Linux vendors agree on an LSB implementation. You can get the screenshots, unfortunately in Portuguese, and a README from links on Slashdot. Peer-to-peer through firewalls. An anonymous submitter writes that a few stream-through firewall applications have been recently announced. P2PNet has an interview with Ian Clark about his new DIGER program, D-I-J-J-E-R, which promises to reduce bandwidth requirements from HTTP servers by transparently distributing the load. Slick.com, S-L-Y-C-K, has an article about LimeWire's new version that offers firewall-to-firewall transfers. Both DIGER and LimeWire are GPL'd. There's also a lot of discussion on the peer-to-peer hackers list about reliable UDP transfers. Valve cracks down on 20,000 users. An anonymous reader writes in that Valve has disabled 20,000 Steam user accounts belonging to users who have been caught using a pirated version of the game or have attempted to use a CD key to bypass the secure ROM protection found on the retail version of the game. The Steam forums have been swamped with people now claiming they're unable to play, many claiming they've had their accounts disabled for no reason. A Valve spokesman says that, quote, the number of people who actually bought HL2 and then used the CD key cheat was very small. Very small. Most people just try to rip off the game and not bother buying it. People are discovering that when you buy any product that's subject to activation, you really haven't bought anything. There's a report out that broadband is in U.S. homes nearly 20%. Django Bongo writes that a Commerce Department report prepared in September shows that the number of Americans using fast internet connections doubled from 2001 to late 2003. Experts are disappointed, though, because even though 12 million households have switched to broadband, the total amounts to about 19.9% of all U.S. households, lagging far behind countries that include South Korea, Taiwan, and Canada. Most anti-spyware tools get failing grades. Serbak writes that, quote, Steve Gibson posted this link to a superb test of about 24 top anti-spyware programs. Eric L. Howells conducted the test over a two-week period in October, and the results were quite surprising. Only 3 anti-spyware programs had a batting average of better than 500 when it came to eradicating the broad range of spyware in the test. The freeware Star Spybot Search and Destroy came in with an average of only 0.376. Who were the top 3? The Giants anti-spyware, Spy Sweeper, and AdAware. What's your vote for the best live Linux for Christmas giving? Trusted Surf writes that this year I'm including a bootable live Linux CD in many of my Christmas cards. As I'll be making the copies myself, I may even change the default desktop background to something personal or Christmassy before running it off on cheap CDRs. The objective is to show people the easiest possible route to using Linux desktops so that they will A, be aware, and B, be pleasantly surprised. Around Christmas time, they may also have more time to try it out. Naturally, he's thinking of Nopix, but there are other options. He uses KDE, so he does have to decide between it and GNOME. Bearing in mind his objectives, he's asking Slashdot readers what you would choose. Also importantly, is it possible that any of them will damage their hardware, particularly monitors with incorrect direction and so forth? He asks Slashdot readers how many of them would fail to boot, leaving a bad impression, and which way would you go about for maximum wow. 564 comments at ask/dot.org. Federal judge has ruled that keystroke logging is not wiretapping. Tospin J. writes that a federal judge in Los Angeles has dismissed wiretapping charges against a California man who used a hardware keystroke logger to spy on his employer. Security Focus reports that the court ruled that the device doesn't violate the Federal Wiretap Act because it only intercepted signals off a keyboard cable, not an interstate network. The government's asking for reconsideration. Ironically, the judge relied in part on the Scarfo precedent, which allowed the FBI to use just such a keylogger without a wiretap warrant. Thanks for listening to Slashdot Review for Tuesday, November 23rd, 2004. My name's Andy McCaskey, and I have no affiliation with Slashdot other than as a regular reader, and offer this material and other items of interest under the Creative Commons Attribution Share-Alike license, as detailed on Slashdotreview.com. Slashdot Review audio is published Monday through Friday and occasionally on Sunday. Today's featured album tracks from the GarageBand.com artist Rebecca Reed from Halifax, Nova Scotia. You can find links to her extremely cool commercial site and multiple download tracks at GarageBand.com by following the links on Slashdot Review.